Mindfulness Meditation is brought to you by Unlimited Possibilities and Dreams. This week's topic is dedicated to all the future teens and all the young athletes who are aiming for their dreams and wishes. After watching and silently cheering for our stars champion to go faster against the clock, get the gold medal, win the tiebreaker, all the amazing teens are true champion from within. So what does it take to be awesome? What does it take for a champion to be a champion of the heart? One, be balanced. When you are young, you must learn how to accept the challenges of what works and what doesn't and what makes you happy. Come from a perspective of doing your very best for yourself and learning how to ride both the winnings and the losing equally. Besides school, training schedule, managing the life of peer pressure, remember to keep in mind the attitude towards gratitude. Two, self-motivation and self-discipline. To all the great athletes out there, you need to be your own cheerleader, your own evaluator, and your own ally because you are the champion from within. Teens, you have this amazing self-driven desire to get up, refine your athletic skills, and improve your body and mind and all the techniques to make you better and building the endurance from inside out. We all know that winning not only takes skills, great abilities, but it takes adaptability. It takes the passion to endure what it takes to fulfill your dream, and that is passion. The secret to life's success and winning is knowing your true heart. Motivate from the clear, sound mind and having the sensibility and knowing who you really are and what you shall become. Three, whatever game that you play in your sports, in your life, and in the daily mundane, either it's on the field or in the court, remember one thing, that you have a choice, so choose the positive outlook with a touch of humbleness in all aspects of your life. You are confident, but not arrogant. Be helpful, but not egotistical. Count all your blessings with the winnings and the losing, but do not mold into your failures or your errors. Overall, be down to earth and find all the little joys in the little things in the present moment. But most of all, as mothers, as fans, as aunties, and as a friend, we are so grateful for you, all the teens out there, because you are the light and the inspiration for our future and for this mindfulness meditation. This is Kim for this week's meditation. To all the young boys and the girls out there who are going for your dreams and fulfilling your future, enjoy the game, break the glass ceiling, play smart, and play to win for yourself. So before we talk to the team, I invited two awesome counselors who are so. How are you ladies doing?
Very good. Very good. Thanks for having us on the show.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay. So let's get started. All right. So for those just tuning in, all right, I'm just going to tell you. Teens, if you're paying attention, parents, you're paying attention, I am not internet savvy, okay? I want to apologize firsthand, trying to figure out how all these work. So if you're going to chat with me or you're going to call me, please be patient with me, all right? And remember, the number is 347-6-question for you. Katie,
I
and tell me what you have learned from with tea.
Gonna set me to live life to the fullest in ways. One, because they're so dramatic, right? Teens can be very to them. I communicate with teens and listen to them and helping them feel heard just by following them, you know, listening to the dramatic concerns and being there for them. A lot of times what it means is they just need an ear. So I've learned how to listen. I've learned how to flare my dramatic side and have fun with it. And then I've also learned how to put it away. You know, I can't have that all the time. So I enjoy working with grade school or middle school. It wasn't all that much fun for me, and I thought they're just going to come back and get me. Well, it's actually been really fun. I've learned a lot, and I feel like I can really make a difference just by listening, you know, and being one adult in their lives.
Awesome. You make a huge difference, Katie. Thank you. Erin?
Okay. Can you repeat?
What do you do?
And what have you what I do is I work with a lot of teenagers that come in with many, many different things. It could be anywhere from, of course, their credits they need for graduation, all the way to they're no longer dating the person they were dating yesterday, and they're really not sure kind of what to do about that. And so what I try very hard to do is to hear what they're bringing in that day, which always changes, and then to offer them, like Katie was saying, a chance to be heard, and then I'm very solution-focused, which just means I try to hear what they're saying right then and then offer them, based on how I know them, some opportunities for what they can do with their problem. So what do you want to do with what's being presented today? And try to get them to kind of learn from that. And I've had the opportunity and the advantage of being in the same school now for a few years, and so really getting to know the kids. So it's really nice because, of course, building a rapport is very important. Otherwise, they come to you, and if you're this new person, they don't have very much trust or really a strong foundation in you. And so I've learned to kind of build that with them by listening and by trying to understand where they're coming from.
Awesome. Thank you, Erin, for
welcome.
All the things that you do. So what is this show is really about, and I just want to set the setting here. So it's basically a show that we talk about compassion. What you do is sharing your compassion every day in your work, in your life, with teens. Teen sees you as their mom, their dad, and their counselor. You play all roles. You wear all hats in everything you do. So my question is for Katie. So, Katie, tell me, if parents are eavesdropping in our conversation, what advice would you give them? What would you want to share with them that they don't know about their kids who are leaving the nest, sort of take wings and flight?
That is a big question, Kim. I wish we had a lot longer to talk about that. Definitely one of the treasures that I have is that I get to talk to teenagers and not tell them what to do. Unfortunately, as parents, we have to tell our kids what to do. But I do think there's a few key things that I help ease the transition into becoming a teenager and to leaving the house. First of all, teenagers believe that they are correct. You know, parents are dumb and teenagers are smart. It's kind of true, at least it is for the teenager, you know. And so we have to treat that as valid.
Uh-huh.
You know, otherwise we're discounting what the teenager is thinking, what they're saying. In other words, that puts them down. It's
uh-huh.
a put down. So we have to validate them. Let them feel like they're not crazy, even though we think they are. They really aren't. They're just experiencing this life that we've all lived for several years for the first time. And so it is scary. It is a big deal. And it does need validation. And I think a lot of times patience with our teenagers is something that they need, because they are going to make mistakes and they are the center of the universe. And they think that we cater to them sometimes. So just with some patience and love and tolerance, I think that's a lot of what would be good for a parent to know, and to go into this parenting a teenager with just knowing that they're going to be wrong. They're sweet little kids that used to bake cookies with them or play catch at the park. You know, they're going to not really want to do that anymore. And it's okay. It's not a personal reflection on the parent. It's just this strange transition that the teenager is feeling and what they're going through. So it's completely normal for the teenagers to trust their friends more. They're going to come to parents a lot less, and they're going to trust their friends. So the parents will have a backseat ride in their lives. And another thing that parents need to do is to be there to pick up the pieces when they fall, because they typically do fall and they do fail, and we just need to totally love them anyway. You know, we need to love them through this difficult transition. So keep it in mind that it's a tough transition for the teenager, it's a tough transition for the parents. So parents, go out there, live life, and have fun. And just know that the teenagers will come around in 10, 20 years, right?
Wow, that's a great recipe for seeing this cookie of compassion that Miss Katie just shared with us. Erin, how about your recipe to cupcakes of compassion? The ingredients for the cupcake of compassion be for parents, if you had to feed the parents cupcake?
Well, I'm feeling as though when you want cupcake of compassion, this is during a time where you're probably really frustrated, you know. Maybe your teenager has shown up late for the 15th time and they have an excuse as to why they haven't followed through on the 12 different things that you've been trying to get them to do all week, okay? So my first ingredient would be to come with a fresh mind, a fresh start, as much as you can. Leave the past behind. The past is the garbage, and we're in the present day. I know it's hard to let go of all that because it has built up, and it is hard when you just want to tell them where you're coming from. Of course, there are times for that. I'm not telling you to never tell them how you feel, but if you can come with a fresh face, you know, a fresh, clean bowl for your cupcake ingredients, that would be good. Then you're listening to them, with that fresh mind, and you're hearing their story almost like it's the first time, because you're using that much passion in your listening. You're really there in the moment with them. And then you're learning from this listening specifically what you think they need and how you think of ways that could mean that you need to, you know, that night make it a point to spend a full hour together in the evening, whether it be sitting down at the dinner table over supper or going for a walk with them, watching a TV show with them, and just talking about, you know, kind of how they're feeling and what you how you can help them with that, how you can learn to listen with to them and help them learn what they need and then love them. So I guess if you use three L's, that could be easy. You listen, you learn, and you love. And you're coming like it's new. And although I speak from experience, it is hard to come into that in that way. But that would be what I think is the best way to approach each situation that a teenager may bring to you.
So the three L: listen, love, and learn. Awesome. I like that recipe.
Very good.
Nice
I
job.
Like, thanks, guys.
Okay. So if there are any listeners out there, I open up my chat room. Please ask me a question, will you? Yes, please call in if you're listening live. The number is 347-637-3220. All right, so if you're listening to the live show now, we have approximately another 10 minutes, and we will be off in the air. And if you like to continue and listen to the rest of the show, you could always listen to the archives. Books, like they are like the mastermind of electronics mm-hmm. and innovation, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So I do not tweet. But if you're happening to seeing the show and you want to tweet, you know what tweet is actually really mean to me?
What?
Tweet means teen with enthusiasm, energetic talents. Let's talk about the talents of teen, okay? If you don't like that, listen to the show and tweet and just tell me if you agree or not, okay? So tweet up, people. Okay, let's talk about talents, right?
Okay.
So you gave us the recipe for how to be great parents by indulging in your cookies and your cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
So now you see teens in all the spectrums
mm-hmm.
and all the different colors
mm-hmm.
of their lives. What mm-hmm. are the most amazing talents?
I think it's how fresh they are, right? What experience that go of them from middle school, they're coming in school, and they're trying all these new things, and it's first time. It's like a breath of fresh air, and they're a reminder to everyone around them how precious life is and how much you can enjoy it, and just, I don't know, they just are a reminder of that energy that you're talking about with tweeting. I think that they bring a beautiful energy to every day. Every day they wake up, and heck, there may be drama that day, but they are going to experience that drama. They're going to either, you know, run to it, run from it, or do something with it. But it is so alive, you know, so alive for them every day versus you hear, you know, people get it as they get older. Oh, the day is just so fast, simple. As maybe they didn't, you know, do well at that response, and it's a really big thing to them. So, but I think that's great because that drama, that energy, that life that they bring, it reminds everybody around them of really what we're here on Earth for, is just to have fun, to try new things, and to feel dramatic about it if you want to, you know?
Yeah. Totally. So with your question, Kim, that makes me think of well, I have to tell you, I'm also a parent of a teenager who's older now and a counselor.
Uh-huh.
From both sides of the equation, I am most impressed with teens and how polite they are at school. Now, I don't know if this is everywhere, and it totally shocks me, but a lot of them are really polite. You know, they say, yes, ma'am. They're saying thank you. So, parents, I want you to know that what you're doing is helping because they do act like that at school.
Uh-huh.
Of course, there's times when they don't. But for the most part, I'm so impressed at how polite they are. And it amazes me that these students are taking such hard classes and doing such intense homework that I'm not quite sure I could do anymore. So it's really impressive sometimes what all these kids are doing and what they are coping with and dealing with, and you know, and they survive and they make it through, and you know, then they come home and crash, probably hang out in their room because they've been so overstimulated. But I think that our teenagers deserve much more credit than what I ever gave mine. You know, I think that they are doing a lot of work, and school is kind of a dramatic, intense environment, and probably exhausting too.
And for pretty much all the parents right now, we can say that we didn't grow up with as much technology as they are growing up with. And what has technology brought to us? It's brought everything instantly. Everything instant message, or I this, or I that, or I this, and I that. And it's just wow. So they're dealing with not just the regular, the classes that we learn, but then all their teachers have websites and all this technology that it's supposed to be helping, which it does help. But it also really brings in a lot of information. So imagine how much information is in your child's head when they come home from school. It is just so much. And then how much they have to follow through. And then how much they're relying on technology. And if that technology fails, it's just like, oh, man, a big crash. You know, I didn't get this in to turnitin.com, or, you know, the Weebly site, I couldn't get it up, or just so many challenges, really, that comes with just all the information, like the amount, and then, of course, sometimes technology with how it, of course, can be good, and we can have challenges, too. So,
and that is so awesome, because in this show, we want to focus on the 90% of what is so amazing about teens instead of focusing what teens need to do and the 10% that they have to do all the time. So, and we have 3 more minutes left on air, but we will definitely continue the conversation. I have the chats open, and if you have any questions, please chat with me, email with me. And again, I'm very new at this. This is my 3rd show, and there's 3 of us here, so it's kind of special for me. It's just basically a show that we're allowing the listeners to eavesdrop in our conversation of, you know, having tea late at night and learn something. So the last question that I have, and we would definitely carry a conversation on, one word that you want parents to remember about their teen. One word. One word.
I'm going first because okay. I think Aaron might take my word. So I would say love. Of course, we have to love our children. I think it's so many more things than it's much more of an action with teenagers and with anybody than just a feeling. So with love, you know, when we listen to them, you know, we want to, if we want to hug them.
Oh, my God. On air, then you can call into us. But I'm going to choose the word passion.
Ooh, good one.
I think as you're listening to your child and you're loving them, you can understand their passion. You were there once and again. So anyway, thank you.
What a wise old soul.
So. Teenager, and you should that.
Okay.
So I'm going to come with this teacher at school, and I'm so frustrated because I don't think I can do it.
Oh my gosh. You must be so stressed right now.
Well, or I could say, oh my, you're so stressed. How did you do that with your parents? You know?
Thank you. So that's validation. Okay. That's awesome validation. Now, remember, you can always listen to the archive, and we will see you. We were going to get all crazy and stuff. Thank you so much. Okay, we're off out the air. Now, let's just talk.
On Skype
for people.
People can hear us?
Of course they could hear us.
Oh, okay.
So,
they
can't see us, okay, but no. They could hear. Okay, Halloween Tango also said, I just want to say that I love the 3L. I think it works well for all ages. Good job, the 3L. All right, let's
Very nice.
Let's talk about compassion.
Okay.
How do we spread compassion? What is compassion all about?
Okay.
We need it.
Okay, start with what is compassion? Okay, what? Let's break. Okay, in the word was the word passion that I chose.
Oh, that work in jeopardy.
So, with compassion, that's like bringing passion to the person that needs it, right?
Nice.
So Kim comes to us, and she slid on the black ice on the way to class. And we are going to be compassionate, so we are bringing our passion or our love to her because she needs it right now. That's what you do when you're being compassionate. You're bringing your passion to that person. So you listen to the word come and passion, right? So, you know, we're just bringing it, man. We're just bringing it.
That was very cool, Erin. You might be the cool one in this interview.
Of course not. Everybody is cool. All right.
I'm going to say that compassion for me, a good way for me to understand it is providing sympathy. If I'm going to give compassion and be compassionate, I'm going to be sympathetic. Now, I'm also going to be empathetic. And so those are two really similar words. Empathy is me imagining how this person might feel without starting to feel that way, right? I can think of what's going on with them, maybe try to relate, maybe give some pointers, or maybe where sympathy is just kind of feeling bad for them. So I'm having an emotion to theirs. So anyway, compassion is a combination of sympathy and empathy, but at the same time, it's an action. So it's also doing the listening and being, you're right, I love how you did that,
mm-hmm.
being passionate about talking to a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can talk to people and say, mm-hmm. yeah, I know, you know, but not really know exactly what they're saying. So this is from one of my 101 classes, Learning Social Work. It is active listening. So this is what I do with my kids. It's like one of the basic tenets of counseling and social work and whatnot. So reflecting, you know, what they say to me. So, you know, like the little role play we did a minute ago, Erin
mm-hmm.
was talking about how maybe if she was a student, she would be really upset with her parents because they're making her take this test with this teacher who has been so mean to her, and it's horrible. So if I reflectively listen, I might say, you are so upset with your parents right now, and you've got the stress with the teacher. So I'm reflecting back to her what she's saying. And then another way to actively listen would be to paraphrase. So I could paraphrase what she was saying. You know, and I kind of just did that, I guess. But, and, you know, there's all sorts of other ways to actively listen. You know, body language.
Yes.
So leaning into the person, you know,
mm-hmm.
making eye contact,
mm-hmm.
shaking your head, you know,
mm-hmm.
acknowledging that you hear what they're saying and, you know, maybe giving some feedback. Yeah, you know, I think
I think I know what you mean. Maybe could you tell me a little more?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. So the actively listening is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pass.
Okay. No, that's really good what you said with action, because a lot of the spiritual studies in Tibetan medicine is compassion, is love with action, right? You love begins, start, but love, you could, if you don't share love, there's no action. You don't move to activate your love, then there's no compassion at all,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
So it's love through action is compassion.
And cool. I just have to comment on this because I was seeing seeing somebody once, and it was very interesting what they had shared. It felt like their parent had started the process of compassion, but definitely ended, like it was kind of blunt and end. And they had told me kind of the start of the conversation, which was they were inquiring about how they were feeling. But then, when I just asked the person, I said, well, then what happened? And they said, well, they didn't do anything. And so it just died there. That thought and what could have turned into an action died there. And so it, at that given time, I got the feeling that because they really wanted to have that action included in that whole act, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It really is helpful when we can follow through, and we're then showing the child, we're mirroring, so we want them to behave, not just with us, but then with their friends and with, you know, with whatever teachers at school, and they're seeing how to do that for themselves. So we're their teachers, you know, we're not, you know, as much, I mean, I'm talking from a counselor's perspective, but I also am raising a teenager as well. And so it's just so many hats that we wear. And Katie was saying earlier that it's in kind of a lucky seat sometimes because she doesn't have to tell the person what to do, you know. And as a parent, we do. We need to say, this is what you need to do, and sometimes this is how you're going to do it, you know. And so as from the counselor chair, we can listen to kind of the specifics of the situation, and we can reflect and, you know, and offer some ideas. But ultimately, you know, the end point is when they get home and you say, this is how you need to follow through, or, you know, you allow them to fly with their own wings, and then you help them learn from that experience, you know. So, but definitely just something to point out, that whole action thing that's very important.
Anything else? So you know about the whole, the National Product of Happiness. Have you ever heard of that? Have I talked to you and mentioned to you about that?
Yes, I've heard you talk about it.
You heard. Okay, so listeners out there, you might not hear about this, but I'm going to share this with you. That would be so awesome. We know about the National gross product, right? So each of the countries have to make a certain amount of money and raise and have unemployment at zero and stuff. So there's this thing called the gross national product of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Is how do you raise the awareness of happiness in the country? All right? So I believe that it all begins with the team. It starts now. We need to plant the seed now. And we need to make them or help them be aware of what it means to be happy. So if you had one advice to give to the team, what advice would you give them regarding happiness? And what is happiness? Everybody say, oh, you should be happy. You should do this. What is happiness?
Okay.
I would say to listen to what it is that you really want to do. That would be in your heart. It's hard to get in touch with that, but really what you truly feel strongly about that you think you might really want to try, and maybe you would put a love in there, you might love it. And then talk with whoever you need to try to make that happen. That could be a teacher at school. It could be a sports coach. It could be a musician. It could be your next door neighbor, and it could be your parent or your uncle or your grandma. It could be anybody. If you find something that you think that you'd really enjoy doing, then try it. You know, don't let anything get in the way. Just try it. And as from the parent's perspective, it would just be there for them and support them in that and however you can, you know. So that's what I would say. Try what you're telling you to do.
Ooh.
Follow your heart. So what is happiness to me, and what I share with the students I work with, happiness is really about having that inner serenity, that inner peacefulness, confidence, and knowing what's going on. I explain it to the kids like, I say, so have you ever maybe been outside and it was a nice sunny day and the clouds were shining through the trees, the green leaves and the bright sunshine, and the sun was just really warming your face, and it was so cool, and you just had this amazing feeling like, this is like really neat right now, you know. And what's amazing is every time the student will have experienced something like that, you know. Sometimes it's, you know, maybe in nature, sometimes maybe at a musical performance or something like that. But, and I tell them that right there, that's happiness. You know, that's the being able to see the beauty and feel that amazing feeling, you know. So I think happiness is much more than just being able to laugh and smile, you know, but just having that inner contentment. So,
wow.
And it often brings me to tears.
Do you have any questions for you?
We have questions, Kim. You've been asking us questions all night. Boy, do we have questions for you.
Let's make it good. Let's make it G-rated, okay?
Okay.
Wow. Ooh, make it good and make it G-rated.
Nice. I wonder if there's a connection. Okay, so do you want to go first or second?
Kim, how did you get on this radio business?
Question.
Now I'm on the spot. Well, I got this by being bold enough to ask one of the my awesome DJ, who is there now, basically, to you need to put me on radio because I want to spread love and compassion. Believe me, it took a lot of bold move to on the radio, and I learned how to be bold. Any other questions?
Okay, so, you know, we talked all about teens tonight, right?
Yeah.
Well, not all. We shared a lot of other things, but we talked about teens and compassion, and you were just saying that in your teens that you were learning how to be bold and beautiful, right?
Yes.
And so can you share a little bit about that? You know,
how to be bold,
yeah,
and beautiful?
Yeah, like what was your experience, and how did you learn? Because you have done something that maybe some teenagers are out there saying, I want to be a DJ, or I want to, you know,
I want to be a football coach, or I want to be a scientist. And there's some ingredients that go into actually making that happen. So how did you transform this piece of your personality that you would consider bold and beautiful to what you're doing today, the radio and your yoga therapy?
Ooh. Let's see. Thank you. That brings me to my next secret that I like to share with teens. It's called Life is Great, So Do 108. All right?
Oh.
So what is this whole Life is Great 108? Basically, you sit, you meditate, you find out what you really want to do. What is your passion? What is your dream? If you could do anything, money is not an issue. Time is not an issue. Resources is not an issue. If you could have anything in the world, what would you want to do and what would you want to be? But the trick is, for a lot of young teens, they would list cars, they would list just material stuff. Now, if you take out all the material stuff, what would be left on the list if you had to come up with 108? So that is basically what I called the compass for compassion, right? So compass is on. So you take that list of 108, which is actually your compass for life. You look at the list and you said, you know what? One of my lists is I want to be the greatest healer in the world. That's number one for me right now. Number two was to get Oprah and Michelle Obama on my show. And they're coming! And then the list just goes on and on what I want to do in life. Yes? So when opportunities arise all the time, if we have a list of what we want, so when an opportunity arises, what do? You take it. You run with it. And you have faith, not fear. You have faith in yourself. You have faith that you have this awesome ability and you cannot fail. What would you do if you know you cannot fail? Amazing things, right? Yes, failure happens. But when failure happens, we definitely learn a lot from failures. So one of the things that I am where I am today is when I was a teen, being bold is I don't fit in any mold. I break all the rules or try to at least push my limits. But hey, I learned from that because that's what makes me a little bit different. And when I fall down, I thank the universe, I thank the divine, and I thank God. And I said, you know what? This is awesome. Thank you for letting me fall. Because when I fall, I'm learning something. And I'm one of those tough person where I have to learn it the hard way. Because lessons come to me kind of lightly. I don't learn that well. So I need to fall. And I need to fall big. And I need to fail big time in order for me to learn. So anyway, so you do this list of 108 called 108 Life is Great. And once you start doing this, then you see things match and things make sense because that's where your passion is. That's where you drive at. So teens, if you do this, if you look at your list and you're like, I want to be an artist, well, maybe your light or your secret or your special talent is creativity. Maybe that's it. Maybe you can design. Maybe creator that creates so amazing. But see, start with the list of 108. You're great.
I have to interrupt just for a second because I want to reflect on something you said earlier in your response, and that is you said that you think that an ingredient to have would be faith and not fear, right?
Yes.
And so
as people are developing an idea of what they want to do and say they want to be an architect or whatever it is, it is natural to say, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do it. And so what you're saying then is to say, I can do it, and then kind of fill in the blanks for me here. I can do it, and here's the reasons why, or how do they develop that faith? How do they build that faith and make that stronger?
Well, you have to try. Like you said, you have to be willing to risk. You have to be willing to try. And that's one amazing talent that teens have, is they risk, they try, and they are definitely fearless. They don't care about the consequence. They just jump and they just do it. Mm-hmm. And then, oops, they fall. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When they fall, believe me, they have a lot of support. And when they fall, they always get back up.
And what you said, too, was when you have fallen, you have thanked your higher power that has happened to you. Because you know when you're falling, that is actually a time that you're learning and you're growing, right?
That's right.
And what a positive spin on that, you know. We're talking about, you know, Katie and myself have talked about how students will come to us and they perceive themselves to be in what we call crisis, right?
Yeah.
But maybe we can rephrase that. It's not really a crisis. It's an opportunity, right?
Yep.
It's an opportunity for growth, and here they are. And so if you're listening out there, teenagers, really hear this, because it's really a new way of thinking. When you are feeling like you're down to the ground and, oh, my gosh, I don't know what the heck to do, well, you know what? You're down there, and let's learn from it. And we can only build from those blocks right there. So that's what Kim's talking about right now, okay? So we're celebrating even the times that we feel like we're losing. We feel kind of down and out, and we're figuring out how to get to the next place. And the only way we can do that is with love from our parents.
Ooh.
And love from everybody around us, and compassion, and faith, and knowing that it is going to be okay. It is. Thank you for letting me.
Thank you so much, Erin. Thank you, Katie, for being on my show, and thank you so very much, listeners out there. I hope you enjoy this week's topic. And next week is going to be Valentine's, and we will talk about gems, semi-precious gems and stones, and how stones and gems can open up different chakra energy systems in the body. Okay? So thank you so very much.
So you said in a few weeks teenagers are going to be on. Like, how do they get on this show?
Email me. Call me. Find me.
Ooh.
And find me. If you want to be on the show, find me. Tweet me.
Ooh.
Tweet me, Facebook me. You want to be on the show? Email me.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Katie and Kim
and Erin.
My K's.